Hey, hello, my lovely podcast friends. How are you doing? How's your life moving on? Is it all going towards the center of profitability and the way you enjoy it or not? Let me know. I look forward to hearing back from you. You can tweet me at LoadWackOff or simply leave a comment below. For me, it was a lovely week. Last Friday, the elder man dropped by and he came for a barbecue. So we had some sardines and I'm really happy to say that it seems to be the case that most of my issues with the city of Eindhoven are gonna be sorted out. So something that's called peace just came by. So the issues are mostly sorted out. We are now finalizing the last things and then we are there. So I am really, 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 really happy with it. But that's just how it's going on. So that's it. Also, last weekend I started with the harvesting of the vegetable garden. The first things are getting out. The potatoes, the beets, the lettuce, the peppers, the tomatoes, the beans. It's all gonna get out and we're gonna get some organic, self-grown vegetables. I will not say that the vegetables are fully lack of any poison because, well, let's face the fact, it's Eindhoven. And if you have a look at what's in the ground, I don't wanna know. On the background, you can hear the city of Eindhoven cleaning the leaves from the trees. And yeah, I can say that I want, to be honest, I don't care what they are doing because they are moving it on. And here there are quite some trees and that's really problematic because all those trees calls for only one really, 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 really big thing. And that's the pedestrian or whatever you call it, the walking area for those people like me who are walking. We have a problem because the bricks are loose and at one place it's literally falling into the ground. So you have to look out because you can break your ankle over there. And well, it's the city of, it's a government, so if you want to sue them, then you have to be a really terrible person, like me, to take it on. So having that said, I'm really happy. Later today I will have another barbecue, that's gonna be a lovely moment again. And it's partly to celebrate that there's something going really well. The number of listeners to the show is dramatically improving. That's really good. And so I'm happy with that. And I have a great item today about investing in renewable energy and clean tech. How to make money on clean tech. And we can talk subsidies, we can talk a lot of things, and there is quite some things to chat about, so that's a really good thing. And please do send me a message. What do you like to hear and what do you not like to hear? I mean, the show is for you and for me. I will try to get a few additional investment purposes and some internet or e-commerce and business people in just because it's great fun. And now that the issues with the city of Eindhoven are sorted out, I really hope that I can have a lot of more time to get this show out and get even more listeners in. The guest that I have on today is not someone you never heard about. Actually, you know him. His name is Tom. Tom Lassing, the Dutch guy, yes. He has a few newsletters and he writes a lot about renewable energy on my podcast, on my shop, hofproper.com/innovativeenergy. You can find, for example, an investment report that's written about innovations and technology and clean tech things that you can do and you can put your money in and contribute a part to the solution, like battery technology. Imagine that your smartphone or your tablet, you never have to charge it again. That sounds lovely to me. Seriously, it is. Let me know what you think about it. I'm really happy with him because he is very knowledgeable and a really great speaker. He knows a lot about things. And but the great thing is about those people who publish, they read a lot, so they know a lot about they know quite a bit about a lot of our topics. And that's the interesting part. It's a nice part on the show. And I will try to get you some more inspirational green technology guys in and people also who are like me and really skeptic about climate change, because there are too many unanswered questions. Questions that the science and those people fail to talk about. But we can look at making money out of it. And no matter what, if we can make money out of it, like I will discuss the plastic soup in the middle of the ocean. If we could make money out of cleaning that plastic soup, that sounds lovely to me. If we could stop the plastic rivers in Indonesia and start with that, That's a great moment. So, especially as the background sound is getting too terrible, I will let you go. I will let me know what you think about Tom, and you can leave the comment below or send me a message. It's at @LodewijkHoff on Twitter or just any platform you like. Okay, Tom, and welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Okay, can you tell our listeners, who most of them will not have heard of you, can you tell them a bit about you?
I was in the Netherlands a long time ago. I'm resting. And I've been an entrepreneur since, I think, 1987. I was still working somewhere, but had my my business next to my regular job. Mm-hmm. And in 2000, I started with my business, only my business. And it was the internet hype time, and I was fully involved in it. And in 2001, I could start all over again, mm-hmm. Knowing a lot more than I did a year before that, but okay. And I started all over again in the Netherlands, in Dutch, so my work is only in Dutch. Mm-hmm. And I've been successful here. And it was, I intentionally published only in Dutch, mm-hmm. because there's a market of 20 million people. And I thought, well, that's enough for me. And I don't have much competition from the English market. If I go to English, then there's a lot of competition. But in Dutch, yeah. Well, if you're born in Holland and you live here, you prefer Dutch. So I thought, well, 20 million is a good market for me.
Okay.
Well, Tom, you write quite a lot about renewable energy and clean tech and how to invest in it. Why do you do that?
Well, I think it's important for humankind to do something about the energy problem. And well, we might not be on one term about how urgent it is, mm-hmm. but you have to be blind if you can't see. And yeah, well, and
I am legally blind.
If you can't see that there is a problem, there is a problem in the world. So there is pollution, mm-hmm. that's bad for you. There is a climate change, and well, it can be natural. If you say, well, climate change is natural, okay, but it is there. Mm-hmm. Can we help it to get it less extreme? Yes, we can. So. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. And if it's not for climate change, then do it for pollution. Our oil, gas, coal, it's all it's not unlimited. So we have to search for other sorts of energy, and most preferably less polluting.
But
more people in this world, that's also a problem, of course, but more people is more pollution. So it's not gonna be better if we do nothing. We have to do something.
But there are quite some scientists who say that climate change is just an hoax from Nobel Prize winner Al Gore and NGOs like Greenpeace. Do you agree with them?
Well, no, but if you say it's a hoax, well, okay, fine with you. But you have to see there's pollution. Mm-hmm. If you also say that pollution is a hoax, then I think
you need to go to my eye doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't want to argue about the fact if it's there or not. Mm-hmm. I think it is there, but besides that, there is pollution. Mm-hmm. And pollution comes from oil, gas, coal, and we can stop it, and we can do it better. If you go to the 90s, cars would run 10 kilometers on 1 liter. If you look now, they can almost go 20 kilometers on the same liter. So there is progress. Mm-hmm. So why stop here? Why not try to do it better and better and better? And the only thing we have to do is make it let's do it because we have to do mm-hmm. it, and there's not a government that has to say you have to do it. No, we want to have to do it ourselves, mm-hmm. and maybe with the help of a government itself. Well, I command you to do it, mm-hmm. but we should should not wait for a government to say so. We just have to do something about it. And I do something about it. My office here is zero energy because I have the sun panels on the roof, solar panels, and I have infrared heating that's on right now, and that's very lovely. And well, everything here is closed and kept warm, and I reuse water supply, that sort of thing.
But on that field, is it profitable, all the investments that you made in your house? Because our listeners may be not be aware, you're living in an old farmhouse. And is it, I would say, it's a big house, I assume?
Yeah.
Is it profitable to get, does it make sense, if you just look financially at it, does it make sense for you to become basically energy independent, what you are telling me now?
Well, let me tell you this. When I came to live here, I paid 6,000 euros for heat and light.
A year?
So 6,000 euros a year. And now I only pay a small 3,000 euros. Mm-hmm. So there's easier 3,000 euros that I don't pay.
The utility firm.
But I made some investments.
Yeah.
I invested some 20,000 euros. Mm-hmm. So you can do the math.
So within 4 or 5 years?
Well, 7 years, 7, 8 years. And maybe when something goes breakdown.
Always great interview Dutch guys.
There's no real word in English for kapot.
Breakdown, damage.
Breakdown. Something breaks down, then make it a year extra. Well, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, then I have my investment back, and those solar panels go 20, 25 years, so no problem.
So that makes sense for people to do, but you write newsletters, and your newsletters are about investing, and you write quite a lot about investing in those green energy fields and clean tech. Do you take into consideration that a lot of the government subsidies, which some projects really need, could go out?
Well, you can invest in projects that need subsidies, but at this time I didn't use for the last investment I did. I didn't use any government subsidy. But beware, the bulk of the subsidies go to the grey energy, oil, gas, coal. I think something like 80% of all subsidies that exist go to the grey part.
To give the listeners some ideas about it, we are both Dutch, and in the Netherlands approximately 30 billion goes to subsidies to fossil fuel energies like oil, gas, coal, and I believe 4 to 6 billion goes to renewable energy. And as I always always joke, just get all the subsidies out and you say 4 to 6 billion, one go. And let the market see how to fix it.
Yeah, that would be great, but you can't do it because the lobby of energy, grey energy, is so strong that they want to keep the subsidies. And a small part of the subsidies goes to green subsidy, just to keep us quiet. And so they can point at, well, that's only there for because of the subsidies, and that's bullshit. If you just get rid of all the subsidies, then there will be another situation, and green energy would be even better than today. So I will be just all for get rid of all subsidies, but then all subsidies.
I mean, that's a great thing to hear. I mean, just by any chance, you're a libertarian? Just by any chance, you are a libertarian?
No, I'm not, but I know about them because I'm not, and that's because I do believe that people and corporations need to be held accountable by something that is bigger than them. And if you just let everybody free and there's no control over them and the market isn't strong enough for that, then it all goes rogue. And we've seen that with the internet, we've seen it with the banks, we've seen it in food in the Netherlands last years. Government did hold back and they went away in protecting the food, and now we are all eating poisonous stuff and fipronil and horse meat from sick horses and everything. It's awful. So there needs to be something that is bigger than the corporations and
Yeah,
people.
just for our listeners, in the Netherlands we had a few food scandals. Someone was selling horse meat as, I believe it was cow meat, but that was something I'm not sure about, so he was selling it because it was more valuable, because he could make more money out of it. There was some poison in eggs that was being distributed, and we are both living in the south of the Netherlands, and we are both close to Belgium, where they have every 2 to 3 months a scandal at a place where they kill the animals because it goes in a terrible way. And you have the biggest farmer guy in Europe, is a Dutchie, and he is not allowed to have animals in Germany because he mistreats them. So in the Netherlands, we will we take him in with open arms. That's basically the food situation in a nutshell. There's some, yeah, some.
And it's a European problem, because one thing that is good about the Netherlands, ultimately, we find those problems, and if we find them, we can see they're all around in Europe with the fipronil, the eggs. It started in Holland. We found it. It took 2 years to find, but we found it. And now it's clear that everyone in Europe is using the same stuff. It's legal, and everyone is using it. So it's a European problem.
Okay, so let's take it from here to the pollution. If I look at the world, you have a few big problems. China is polluted. India is a dirty country, which in Asia, well, most people in the world live in Asia. We have pollution problems in the United States, in Europe. Africa is one big junk area. We have the plastic soup in the ocean. How would you fix it, and how would you solve it and make money on it? Because that's what, how the way we. Otherwise, we
Well,
can't wait for the government.
you gave the answer, how you can make money out of it. That's the point. If you want to have in Indonesia, you have rivers of plastic. It's incredible how polluted it is in some places. But if you can make oil out of the plastic, and you give people the possibility to making oil out of that plastic, then they're gonna try to get those plastic things and make oil out of it. So try to do it in Japan. A company made a machine that can make oil from plastic. It heats it up, it makes a soup out of it, and then out comes the oil. So you can, in the Netherlands, that machine is illegal. Of
Why
course,
is it
it's
illegal?
illegal, because why it's illegal? I can't make oil, because if I make oil, then I won't pay the taxes on the oil. So what's the best way for the government to keep me from making oil? Let's make the machine illegal. So the problem is government. Well, in that case, I'm with the libertarians, of course. The problem is you can't make money out of pollution. If you can make money out of it, then the problem is gone
No time.
in a very no time. Sure.
So, but you talk about the machine, which is an interesting idea. Is it not just an idea that Japan says, because Japan, for the listeners, needs to import all its energy. That's why the country is so happy with nuclear energy. It's one of the few things that can be imported and that they can get for a long time from Asia. But it's not a smart move for Japan then to simply say, well, we're gonna make oil from the plastic soup in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and we're gonna get the oil for our country.
Yeah, that's one thing. But
Just make a big machine
if you
and.
make oil, if you make oil out of plastic, and you have to get the plastic from around the world, then you miss the point. You have to get the plastics from locally.
I mean about in the middle of the Pacific Ocean is a big plastic soup.
Yeah, I know. And maybe they do, because there's
a
big
machine
project
on it and start doing it.
Yeah. Well, there's a big project now with a Dutch guy that's making a machine that can harvest the plastic soup there. And who knows, maybe Japan is buying the plastics. I'm not sure where it's going, but they have the machines. They are from small to big machines. We know we can make oil out of plastics, because in Holland you get to collect your plastics apart from the rest of your garbage. So they're gonna do something with it. But it's not allowed to do it as a person or just a company to make oil out of plastics. And for myself, what would I do with the oil? The only thing I can do with it is or burn it or give it away. But I can't ride my car on that oil. I have to get petrol. Mm-hmm. So there's one thing of making oil out of plastics. You have to do something with it. And that's why company like Shell should try to make it, because you can make oil out of the plastic. Well, they are in oil, so why put it from the ground? Why not make it from plastics? So that's something that Shell should or could do.
And but the standard response from the big oil companies is always, it's not profitable.
Yeah, that might be the case, that it's not profitable for them, because I think you have to put it locally. Mm-hmm. If you want to have a clean Indonesian river, you have to have a machine or a few machines in that area. Mm-hmm. And people that work almost for nothing feed the machine and get the oil profits from it. That will work. If you try to do it here in Holland, there's almost no plastics in nature. It won't work here, because you have to get plastics from far, far away, or from the garbage collector, and maybe they will, but I'm not sure whether in Holland it's economically interesting of doing it, because labor is so expensive, and oil is so cheap. That's also the problem. Maybe we should ask the government of taxing oil far more than they do now.
But I must admit, I don't hold the driving license, and I don't know for certain, but if I'm correctly informed, if you go and get petrol, approximately 75% of what you pay already goes to the government.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What you say is get that from 75% up to a higher percentage to make it feasible.
Well. Yeah, that makes it feasible to clean the environment, but also it makes it feasible of going earlier to the green energy sources. Oil is extremely cheap, but we need the quality oil to make some quality plastics and everything. Uh-huh. And now what we do is take quality oil and drive around with it and burn it for nothing, almost for just going from A to B. That's wasteful. In 400 years, they will say, well, why didn't you do it another way? We need that quality oil, and it's gone.
And
so,
but if you look at it, the oil, is the era of cheap oil not ending? I mean, the only real big resource that we got in the world for cheap oil are Saudi Arabia and Iran and Iraq, in that area.
Mm-hmm.
But that oil, with the exception of Iran, due to sanctions, is almost all gone. Oh, yeah, and Iraq also. So then you get oil from the sands in Canada, the oil from Venezuela.
Well, at this moment, oil is cheap because it's flowing from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, even the Russians don't know how much oil they have. There is an enormous amount of oil in Russia. If you go to Siberia, there are thousands and thousands of miles of land that never has seen a man, and a machine is impossible to go there at this moment. So there's an enormous amount of oil, and that might be a hell of an argument for people to say, well, we just use oil because there is enough, but all that oil will give a pollution that's incredible, so don't use
okay,
it.
So but what's the alternative to what gives us the energy that we need? I mean,
well, we don't use the solar energy, the wave energy, the wind energy that is possible. If we would only cover 2% of the land with solar panels, that would make a change that would be enormous. We heat in the Netherlands, we heat our homes with gas.
Yes.
And it was cheap because in Groningen we had gas for free. But we should heat it with electricity that we only get from solar panels. That's the way to go. And we're not going there because we have cheap gas.
But the cheap gas in Groningen is gone in a few, well, decades, they say. I think it will be sooner because the gas at a certain moment is gone. And I don't think that the Shell Esso partnership, NAM, was doing that well with efficiency due because, well, the money was just throw a brick off the ground and the gas got out.
Yeah, well, if you ask Shell what we should do with heating our homes, they will say, well, use the gas as long as it's there. But there is one moment in time, somewhere in the future, and it can be 5 years, it can be 15 years, can be 50 years, who knows, that all the gas is gone. And then you have to change. Well, if you're not starting now by changing houses, new houses to solar energy that they produce itself, warm coal technology, earth warmth. If you're not doing it right now, then you're too late. You have to start somewhere. So start today and do it.
And how do you look at nuclear energy?
Well, the old nuclear energy is only there because we need weapons. And after we had the weapons, we can do something more with it. Oh, let's make energy. Oh, fine. If you go to a thorium energy source, that would be much better in theory. But the fact is, it needs some more work to it. But I think if we can get a thorium energy module to work in a way they think it can, it would be a great thing.
Okay.
Because it would bring us a lot further and would slow down the green energy evolution. But that doesn't matter, it gives us more time.
Okay. And what would, what's in your opinion, the biggest risk for the world on for investors who are interested in investing in clean tech and renewable energy?
Donald Trump.
That's a short answer. Can you explain why? To a guy who is really a big Trump supporter. You say Trump is a problem. Well, explain me.
I think that his administration is very wary of science. And they don't trust the scientists. And I think that is a great mistake. There are a few stupid gray men that say, I don't trust science. Well, what they trust besides that, they only trust themselves. And what do they know? Well, one guy is an oil man, another guy is a banker, and there's a guy that's a broken car salesman. Oh no, that's Trump. What was Trump? But something like that. And those fools think they know better than science. Well, that's a disaster happening, just waiting to happen.
And how can we make money out of that disaster?
Well, that's a problem. I hope that the companies like Google, like Tesla, would continue with their efforts to green the world. They're doing a great job, and also a state like California, but also Europe, they say, well, we have to do something with the environment and with the climate change. We have to do it. And if you look, how can you do get some money out of it, mm-hmm. we have to change infrastructure. And we have to build a wall, a great wall, a big wall, but not to get Mexicans out of the United mm-hmm. States, but get the sea and the oceans out of our countries. So get the money to build walls, but build them on the right place.
You know that one of the financing models that Trump had for the wall with Mexico was to put solar panels on top of it, which was was a nice idea. Could work because of Texas and South of America. Well, let's face it, enough sunshine, so.
Yeah, but like a lot of ideas of Trump, it was just
a good tweet.
A bit of gas coming out of his mouth, and it was nothing. It was just, oh yeah, you can do that as well. And then the oil man said, "You should don't say it again," and I haven't heard it since. So no, it was just a remark of Trump that means nothing, like all his most of his remarks. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can build a wall and then put solar panels on it. But if you build a wall to keep Mexicans out and they are not coming through that place, why build a wall? Mm-hmm. Just put solar panels on the ground, and you have much more efficiency mm-hmm. than first build a wall and then put solar panels on it. It's stupid.
But would that not also be a good idea to do just in the world? I mean, I am planning a trip to China, and if I look at what's happening over there, it's amazing on the field of energy, because they just do everything big.
Yeah, China has understood the problem because they felt it themselves. If you can't see 100 meters because of the smoke, mm-hmm. and you understand that it's your own fault that it's there, you have to do something about it. And in China, the government understood that the folks, the people, would rise up if they wouldn't do something about that pollution. So China is making big steps, and just because America is denying climate change and is working against the greening of the energy world, China will take on this role as a first mover and biggest party. So it's just very logical that China takes over, because China is the next world power, mm-hmm. and America is doing everything to make that happen. And that's strange, but they do all the wrong stuff to make it happen. And it's not unique. England did the same, and before England, Spain did the same. When a country is number one, and it stays the number one for a long time, they self-destruct, mm-hmm. and America self-destructs. Okay. Fact of life, I think.
Okay, then I would say thank you for time and thanks for the interview. And then
okay, my pleasure.
Blockchain and with the other options.